All right, we've got a fun Saturday edition of the podcast for you guys today. It's Dylan, Nico, and Henry as always, and today we've got a fun draft scheduled. Hello and welcome to this edition of Side Retired. It is Dylan, Nico, and Henry, as always. And boys, once again, we're live from three different states for the first time in a while. Dylan here in Indiana, Nico back in DC, and Henry's up in the middle of Maine. And the boys didn't have much to talk about. Obviously, if you haven't yet looked back at our Tommy John episode from Monday, our great interview with Lourdes Peralta on Wednesday. So we went back to our roots, and here we are doing a fun draft. But before we get into that, how we doing?
Good, bro. Excited. Weekend's coming. It's Saturday, so getting after it. Have some club baseball happening. So when this gets released, that's probably what I'll be doing, So I'm excited. Doing well.
Henry, how's life as a Yankee fan?
Can't complain. I mean, would I would be I would be beside myself if I had seen a Soto walk to Judge game tying home run to end that game against the Marlins. But overall, you can't complain. Win another series, keep it moving.
Well,
I
I will
would have
say
loved
there's
the game today during my classes, though. That would have been really nice.
Another team that took a series against the Atlanta Braves. So we'll see what happens as we get to our top 10 power rankings, but that won't be for a couple of days. But shout out the New
Baby.
York Mets for finally winning a series, two in a row. Just saying, here we go. But today's draft, we're not only looking towards the near future, but the entire season. And what we're going to do is Nico, Henry, and I, and I believe the order we settled on is Henry, myself, and Nico, one, two, three, drafting 2024 Rookie of the Year candidates. And the concept is simple. You are not drafting for their career. For example, you're not saying that the person you draft 1-1 is going to be the best rookie overall. We are just looking at the odds of who will win the Rookie of the Year. So, in theory, if this draft goes perfectly, Henry will draft a player 1-1, and that person wins either the NL or the AL Rookie of the Year. And then me at 1-2 would get the other Rookie of the Year, which would leave Nico hanging dry. But odds are that's not how this is going to go when we look back on it in a couple of months. But Henry, the floor is yours. Who would you like to select as the quote unquote best rookie of 2024?
Yeah, man, I'm kind of deciding between two picks. One of them, I believe, one of them I have a ton of bias from as just a big college baseball fan, and the other guy is kind of taking me by surprise in his first two starts. I'm not taking Jackson Holliday. I like Jackson Holliday. I think it's ridiculous that there are like a bunch of people who are serious in the Instagram comments being like, "Ah, he's cooked." Like there are jokes, but there's some people who are actually serious about it. He's going to be great. But you know what? I think I'm going to go with the pitcher, Shota Imanaga. I was really not expecting like a crazy amount. I was like, I think he's going to be good. And obviously the opening press conference with the Hey Chicago, like that was awesome. But he's been a stud. And I really think that he has a very good chance to win the NL Rookie of the Year.
I think with how if right now, if he's the clear rookie of the year candidate for either league, I think right now, just what he's done, again, he's a 30-year-old rookie, so just what he's done,
He's cheating.
he's a veteran. Like he looks like a vet. He looks like a professional, and you can tell right now, I think he's, if you had to put anyone as like number one in any, like he's the clear number one for the NL right now.
I am confused though, because Henry said maybe it's my college baseball bias, and he picked two guys that did not go to college in the
No,
US.
I know.
So.
I was not considering Jackson Holliday. I'm not gonna tip my cards too much on the other guy, so in case we can get him on the wraparound.
Okay, well, I'm gonna go. Do I just take Jackson Holliday as the easy choice? I know there's a couple of guys in Texas that I'm also considering. The problem is, since we're going for who's going to win the Rookie of the Year, like I feel like I should go for an AL guy because I think all three of us, if we're going to say gun to our head, who's the NL Rookie of the Year? Are we all agreeing it's Imanaga is our pick right now? I think that's a
Right now,
fair
yes.
assumption to
Right now,
say.
but again, it's also April 12th.
Yeah, absolutely. But I will, to play the game of hopefully trying to get the Rookie of the Year, I'm going to say that the writers in the past have proven to be biased and they continue to do so. And if Jackson Holliday has somewhat of a reasonable season, he's going to win the AL Rookie of the Year. He's in a pretty stacked Orioles lineup, surrounding himself with Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman. They basically produce
Colton
clones of
Cowser.
guys, Colton Cowser, clones that look identical to each other. But that's what the Orioles just do over there. They mash, they win the AL East, they move on. And Jackson Holliday is just another one of those pieces. I think he does really well and wins the Rookie of the Year for the American League. But Nico, you now have the wraparound of two picks. So you could go in NL and AL to try to hedge your bet. You could go try to lock down one of the leagues. Floor is yours.
It's weird because this isn't the spot I wanted to be. But I'm torn between two guys. Because
Well,
I think I am gonna do
if
what you
you get two guys.
I no, because I think I am gonna go AL NL, which makes this decision a little bit more difficult. So I'll go with my AL guy. I'm gonna do Wyatt Langford. I think that the guy just hits the ball so hard. And I think that, again, everything that you said about Jackson Holliday, I can say is going to be very similar with the lineup that the Rangers have. He's not going to have a lot of trouble. He seems like he's a very big five-tool player, especially if you can get that contact up. And he seems like the type of guy that can have like just an amazing like second half after it takes him a little bit to get adjusted, or have like a three-month stretch where he's just absolutely tattooing balls. And I think that even if he doesn't have like a phenomenal like year, whole year, I think that he's has the talent enough that if he puts together a 3-month hot stretch, his numbers could get so inflated that he wins it. I think he's a great ball player. My second one is not, I'm torn because it's how much faith do I have in Imanaga is my pick right here. It's how much faith do I have in Imanaga?
I'll be honest, as an unbiased perspective, I got a lot of faith. He's looked the part of
I have a lot of faith
that
in Imanaga.
it's
And
almost
since
like when Hyunjin Ryu came over and 2 years in, he was already in the Cy Young finalists. Like, it feels like a guy that's here and is already polished.
Because the thing is, I don't want to, and the thing is, I don't want this guy to slip because I think I'm the quiet part out loud. I'm not taking him, but I think Yamamoto's going to be fine. He's looked good his last two starts, so I think he's going to be fine. But since I think Imanaga's going to have the better year than him, to kind of hedge my bet and think, okay, I'm going to take who I think the hitter's going to be. I'm going to take Jackson Chourio. I mean, he's looked good. He's looked like everything that they would expect him to be. Especially now, he's going to have a little bit of trouble now. I want to see what happens now that Yelich just got pulled out of the game. I want to see if that's anything lingering, if he has a little bit of time that's gotten taken out. We'll see what happens there. But I think Jackson Chourio has the talent. I think of all the guys, I think maybe besides maybe Holiday, because if Holiday has so much hype, I think he has such a high ceiling of any of the hitters that we're talking about, just as high as Wyatt Langford's. So I'm going to take him. I think, again, his talent, and he has the ability to have a 2020 year. And if he can have a 20 or like a 25-25 year, and if he's able to put that together, I think he can have a strong case for it.
So I think the fun part is that both of my picks I was going to select, you guys talked about right before I took them. So I am going to go with Yamamoto here because he's looked dominant this year. The one reason his stats look ugly right now of a 4 ERA through three starts is because his first start was the weird game in Korea where he pitched one inning, wasn't ready, and gave up 5 runs. In his two real starts, as much as I don't want to call the Korea series a start, faced the Cubs and he faced the Cardinals. Two not great offenses, but solid big league average teams. 10 innings pitched, 0 earned runs, 13 strikeouts. That is the $300 million pitcher right there. So while yes, the numbers through three starts aren't pretty because it's a 4 ERA, if he's doing what he's doing in America so far, that's literally the Cy Young, which I don't think I'm going to be bold enough to say he wins the Cy Young this year, but I am going to say that his whip is already at one again. He's got 15 Ks in 11 innings. And once he gets the earned run average back to normal, because I know the writers of America still do look at that number, even though a lot of people don't. Once he gets 20, 30 starts into this year, that 5 burger in one inning will be nothing. So ignoring the small sample size, because as much as we love Imanaga, beginning of the year, I don't think people were saying Shota Imanaga is a better baseball player than Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Just look at their contracts. So getting Yamamoto here at five to put myself up with, I'd argue, the two favorites entering the year in Jackson Holliday and
No,
Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Jackson Holliday wasn't the favorite.
Really?
My guy
Was
was.
it
No,
Wyatt Langford?
it was
Langford.
Langford. It was
Okay.
Langford. I again,
One.
that's the pick.
Yeah.
I think we're starting to get. I think there's one more guy. I want to see if Henry takes him. I think there's kind of like six guys. Like the first two rounds, I think are kind of like that upper tier of like kind of the expected people. You can argue that this guy's maybe in like a second tier with how the season started, but I think, yeah, absolutely. I think that Yamamoto, especially like you can tell from these last two starts, like you said,
He's legit.
he, yeah, he's legit. And the only reason I didn't take him is just because
I
if
had
I
to.
think Imanaga has a chance of outpitching him, I'm going to take the hitter and hope that the hitter goes off.
Henry, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm taking a pair of outfielders from both leagues. Evan Carter has a 189 batting average, but still has a 112 OPS plus. That's kind of insane. And considering that we've seen the hit tool, like we've seen him do it, I have no trouble believing that while he hasn't been able to make as much contact as one would like to see, to start the season, that he will be fine by the end of the year. And I'm honestly kind of happy that he fell to me. I was really deciding between Imanaga and Langford, but for my 1-1. But Evan Carter falling to me is awesome because I think that he's great, and I think that he will at least finish top three. That's just my personal opinion. And my second guy, I'm really high on him. He's not even a natural outfielder, but he's been playing it really well. And he has a 793 OPS right now. Like, I'll take that. Jackson Merrill. I love this guy. Everything that I've seen from him, I just absolutely love. And I think that he's for round three, pick one, I think that's a great little value pick.
I'm surprised because when you said you're taking two outfielders, I assumed Evan Carter was one. But then I have two outfielders that are my one and two on my board right now. And you didn't take either of them with Jackson Merrill. So I don't really know which one to go with. There's one that's gotten off to an incredibly hot start, but I don't know if he's actually going to perform this well throughout the year. And then the other one has not gotten off to a good start at all, but you have to remember it's 10 games. So this is a small sample versus big sample argument. And I think just to hedge my bet of Jackson Holliday, I'm going to go with the small sample, and that is Colton Cowser as my third round pick. And he is a first round draft pick in 2021 coming out of Sam Houston State University in Texas. So the bat has been there since the beginning. And last year was not pretty. In fact, in 26 games and 60 at bats, he hit 115, which was abysmal. But I also remember, and Henry's going to roll his eyes, when Aaron Judge first came up in his little small cup of coffee, he stunk too. And then he finally got his regular playing in 2017 and he looked dominant. Am I saying Colton Cowser is the next Aaron Judge? No.
One Kelser for MVP.
But Colton Cowser's hitting the ball extremely hard. He's also hitting 450 on the year so far. And the same argument I just used for Jackson Holliday about stacked lineup, Orioles, carbon copy of all the players that they have, I'm going to use it with Colton Cowser too. He is going to get the leg room to play. I believe he's left field so far this year in all the games and the underlying metrics in case people care about that as well. Hitting the ball 97th percentile and hard hit, barrel percentage is 90%. Batter run value is 90%, and fielding, because people care about that, 92nd percentile in Major League Baseball. So give me the well-rounded Colton Cowser, former first-round draft pick, as my third-round draft pick. And Nico, you've got two.
Let
We
me
can't
get one.
hear Nico.
Sorry. No, I'm good. I'm good. Just had to force quit something. All right. I think I'm gonna take, it's not the sexy pick, but I think you're talking about two outfielders. And for my first pick, I'm gonna take the larger sample size. I think he's gonna get all the opportunity to perform. I'm gonna take Junghoo Lee.
Yeah, that was the other one I was
Good pick.
thinking
Yeah.
about.
I think that again, he's gonna have the time to get adjusted. I think that he's, again, being the leadoff, he's going to be their guy. He's going to get every single opportunity to succeed. And I think, again, with a lot of these guys, it's like you said, it's weighing the first half bursts versus the second half adjustments. I think we saw it a lot with a guy like Tristan Casas last year. Like Tristan Casas was a Rookie of the Year finalist, and he had an abysmal first half. And then he made the adjustments in the second half, and he was in the top three. I think that Junghoo Lee, I think that give him enough time, and I think he's definitely going to solidify himself as a potential finalist. So I'm happy with Junghoo Lee there. The next guy who I feel weird because I feel like I almost have to give guys who are already in the league right now kind of like their what they deserve. And he just looks so good. And I feel like we're starting to get to the point where it's like I'm gonna start taking more flyers and just on guys who I like. I'm gonna take Jerry Jones. I think Jerry Jones has looked great for the Pirates. I think he has the stuff. For me, for him, it's completely a stuff thing. I think that when you watch him pitch, you see like why the Pirates called him up and he made the opening day roster. I can see him very similarly being like a Tanner Bibby, where he goes and he has a very like quiet year where like, and we just look and it's October and we're like, dang, he had such a better year than we thought. The stuff's gonna play. And I think a lot of people have been quiet on him because he's kind of been overshadowed by Paul Skenes, absolutely, as he should, because Paul Skenes is electric. But I think that Jerry Jones being in the league already, I think that we can look up and it'd be September and we're like, he has a 3 ERA and no one's been talking about it.
So this is where once again we get to the argument of it's been 12 games. I don't want to overreact, but a week ago, Henry, we were literally saying this guy is winning the AL Rookie of the Year. And we've seen 1 week of him and we're jumping off ship. So
Well,
I
no, I
can't
was just
fully
hoping
jump
on
off
taking
ship.
him in a little bit. He's a nice little value pick. He
Well,
was a value pick when I made the prediction.
he's mine now, and I'm taking Colt Keith here with the fourth round pick. Now, the numbers have not been pretty. He's hitting 222. His OPS plus is at 62. And the problem I have with Colt Keith in picking him, and I will say there are red flags, but I'm going to stay to the morals that he's going to win it. The Tigers look better than we thought. Meaning, if Keith continues to struggle throughout April and even May, when Anny Ibañez, who's usually their second baseman, comes back, could they say, you know what, let's send Colt Keith back to the minor leagues and end all hopes of him being the rookie of the year? Absolutely. But I need to stick to my morals and go to our phrase that we don't overreact here on Side Retired. And that if I projected him to win the rookie of the year literally 12 days ago, I can't jump off of him entirely. And while I think Jackson Holliday is a cool, safe bet, I'm going to still have the Colt Keith bet in my back pocket so that if he does win, we can come back to this draft. And I did still stick to my morals and have him. So Colt Keith, the safe, easy value pick. Henry, back to you for two.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with a guy who I really love, but I also think that his park is gonna help him a lot. Give me Kyle Harrison.
Like it.
Like I really like him in this, like with as a low, not low pressure pitcher. They need him to do well if they wanna make any noise, but he's not their ace. They're not putting ace expectations on him. And I think that pitching in Oracle, it's one of the better spots that you could possibly end up in if you're a rookie pitcher, to just ease yourself into the league facing major league lineups. And I think that's going to do him a lot of good. Now, my second guy, there's one clear hole. It's his discipline. He's got to work on it. I want the guy who just got a big time extension from the Boston Red Sox. Give me Zidane Raphaela.
Damn, damn.
I mean,
I'm not gonna lie,
I
Nico.
love
You
him.
didn't realize you
He
just
is
wasted our
awesome.
one under your breath.
I couldn't hear it, to be fair.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't. I said,
Really?
damn,
Okay. I thought I heard.
dude. That was I. I'm gonna be honest. I was like, I've thought of him since the first round, and I'm like,
Yeah,
there's no shot.
he is so good.
He is, bro. He was my pick to win it. I just literally was like, in this draft, I really don't think anyone's gonna take him, so I'm gonna be able to get him for my last pick.
So, Henry just stole a guy. I'm going to
Yeah, man.
steal a guy. I got one. The manager of his team said he's well ahead of schedule and he will begin his minor league rehab around April 20th. The Pookie Bear has a chance at winning the AL Rookie of the Year. Jason Dominguez might be on a field by May 1st and he gets 5 months to try to compete for
Well,
the AL Rookie of
he
the
will
Year.
not be on a on not on a Yankee Stadium field.
If he's playing in minor league rehab games by April 20th, I don't see why he couldn't be in the major leagues in 14 days after that.
Because why would you rush it? That's why. Like,
Because Giancarlo Stanton can't hit water if he fell off a
oh, what
boat.
the fuck?
That's our one.
Yeah, have you seen his last five games?
Five games.
Yeah, it's we are 10
It's been
games into the
10.
season.
Yeah, and it's been 3 years with him.
When he had a good 2022.
Giancarlo Stanton, I'm telling you, they're gonna rush Dominguez back. He's gonna be the starting center
No,
fielder.
they will not rush Dominguez back when not only have they voiced confidence in Giancarlo, but he's also performing right now. If they were to rush him back, I'll be like, I don't know. When they've put Giancarlo has had a great start to this season. There is no reason to think that they would be like, well, he might be bad, and then rush one of their biggest prospects in the last 10 years.
I'm not saying rush. I'm just saying Aaron Boone announced that he's well ahead of schedule and he's playing in rehab games at the end of April. So I think it's happening a lot quicker than you expect. And we saw how good Jason Dominguez can be when he's on the field. And I'm sensing some anger in not having Jason Dominguez as his sixth round
No,
pick. But
I never wanted Jason Dominguez.
well, he's mine now. And we can
I've
celebrate
got
when
my
he
sixth
wins
round
the rookie of the year. So, Nico, you've got your fifth and your last sixth round pick. Now that you don't have Sadane Raphael to take that spot.
It just made actually my life a lot easier because I didn't think you were going to take Jason Dominguez. So I had three guys. One of them was Rafaela, and I was between two others. And now I just get to pick the two others. First guy, just had his. Because of a stupid scorebook change that got changed three times, had his on-base streak killed. I'm gonna go with Nolan Chanuel. I
You're
mean,
not worried about him hitting 066 right now?
don't care. Gets on base. Gets on base.
All
I'm
right,
sorry.
A's.
Literally made a movie about it. Again, I mean, he's hitting right now. He has more hits than Jason Dominguez, so I'd pipe down. Yes, he's not hitting great.
Gary Sanchez, sorry, I'm gonna get on the soapbox here. Gary Sanchez almost won the rookie of the year after he started playing on like August 15th that
Don't
year.
worry, Dylan. My picks are
Well,
coming.
yeah, because he literally had the greatest start of any rookie not named Davis Schneider.
Who's on the board too?
Anyways, Nolan Chanuel broke the on-base franchise record for the Angels. He's gonna be fine. He's a great pick, especially for the fifth round.
Yes.
My sixth round pick is kind of along the lines that Dylan's saying.
Hey, I know who you're taking. At
If
least I
Paul
think I,
Skenes gets
yeah.
brought up in the All-Star break and has a 1-5, which I think is possible, can he win Rookie of the Year?
God damn
They can't.
it. Now
The
I
fact
have the he's not falling to mine.
that, Paul Skenes could have a two could get brought up in like July if they're actually good and have a 2 ERA, and like he's gonna have a great shot of winning if he can get his stuff's there. We all know that he was the first round pick. He was the first number one pick for a reason. I think the big question with him is just, is he going to get called up? I think is the big question with him slash when will he? Is it going to be at the end of this year for a cup of coffee? Is it going to be in June, July if they go and they see that they want to make a push because the Pirates are like first or second in the NL Central? And also, again, as much as we love Paul Skenes and we think he's going to be great, the same way that we think Jackson Holliday is going to be great, you can be susceptible to struggling at first for a simple reason of you're a rookie. But I think that from a stuff perspective, I think he has the most talent in this draft. Just from a pure talent perspective, I think he has that. Maybe not, maybe Jackson and Yamamoto. But I think other than that, I think that his just sheer stuff is better than, in my opinion, anyone in this draft. So I'm happy to have him as my last pick.
That's see, he's the no, Henry's not gonna like when I say he's the hitter Jason Dominguez, but it is the sort of both of those guys could go off. We just don't know how big the sample size will be. Schemes for it, obviously for call up, and Dominguez obviously for health. I think
The two
Jared
comps
Jones
are.
is the safe bet on the Pirates rotation, but Schemes is the future ace of that team. Like, no
Yes.
matter what Jones does this year, aside from becoming the next Shane Bieber, Jared Jones is the solid 2-3. Mitch Keller is the 4-5, and they'll piece together the rest of that rotation as they go on. But Skeens is the one, and it just matters on if he gets called up this year or is 2025 the year of Skeens.
Absolutely. And I think like the comps that there are is, I think like you can have a June call up, May call up, like late May call up, like Yasiel Puig, and be
Jacob
fine.
DeGrom.
Jacob deGrom, yes. And then you could also have, like, if you get a month too long, you get into that Gary Sanchez territory where it's just like it's a month, it's a sixth of the year. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about like sample size, you're always going to give it to a guy who has those 30 extra games.
I like it. Let me go with my homer pick for the sixth round just because he's been getting a lot of hype recently. That's Christian Scott. In AAA for the Mets in his last 21 starts, he's had a 199 batting average against. So far this year, he is a 54%, yes, you heard me right, strikeout percentage. That means that more than half the batters that he faces, that includes hits, walks, hit by pitches, everything else, half the guys that step in the box have struck out against him. The only player in Major League Baseball to do that in the last 2 years was Edwin Diaz. Christian Scott is doing that as a starting pitcher. So I just think, given that the Mets rotation has been surprisingly good this year, I believe the numbers are actually the Mets pitching staff has the lowest ERA in the National League right now. That has been while trotting Julio Teheran, who was also DFA'd a couple of days ago, and Jose Buto out as the number five starter. I think there's a world where the Mets could say, because McGill is out now until at least June, and Senga, I don't know if you guys saw, was just transferred over to the 60-day IL, so he's not coming back anytime soon. Christian Scott looks like a pitcher. I think we've seen this with a couple of guys. They're done with AAA. Like, it's like, all right, you've dominated the league. You've done everything you need to do. Now you just need to get called up when there's the right opportunity. And I think Scott has reached that level. The Mets weren't saying he was a candidate to become in the rotation coming out of spring training, but then he's now gone down and shoved and given up, I believe, zero earned runs and struck out 54% of the batters he's faced in AAA in his first two starts. So I think he probably gets one or two more starts down there. Maybe Buto gets a start this weekend, I believe, against the Royals on Sunday. If he struggles a little bit, maybe it's Christian Scott time in Queens. If not, that call-up is coming sooner rather than later because the Mets rotation, as Henry knows with Luis Severino, is injury prone and someone's going to get hurt at some point. And rather than seeing Joey Lucchese, as much as we love the Churves, I think Christian Scott is going to get that shot. And as Nico just mentioned, in 2014, the Mets had an interesting similar rotation issue where there wasn't really an ace, but they needed some starting pitching and they called up the hype prospect and they called up a random guy that didn't really receive a lot of attention. And the guy that received a lot of attention was Rafael Montero, and he did okay. And the other guy came up to the major leagues and pitched in his major league debut against the New York Yankees and lost the game 1-0. And that was Jacob deGrom, which funny and ironic how that was the moral of the story the next 6 years with Jacob deGrom. But Christian Scott has that chance. So homer pick, but there is some numbers behind it. But Henry, bring us home with the last pick of this draft, but Nico's raising his hand.
I gotta say something on Christian Scott. So,
Yes.
my freshman year, my freshman year of high school, we played his high school in the regional final,
Okay.
and there was a lot of rain. And this is just to show like how dominant he's been just from high school on. We played them in high school, and he absolutely like just shoved. Like we couldn't hit him. Period. Like I think we had like one hit, two hits. To the point where it was getting like close to dusk, like close to sunset, and the assistant coach goes to our catcher and he goes to him, he's like, yo, starting to get a little dark. I need you to act like you can't see the ball. Because if not, he's gonna throw a one hit complete game against us. So the next inning comes out. And they throw the first pitch, and he goes, and he's like, "Whoa!" Acts like he couldn't see it. The second pitch, he literally lets get off of his mitt and hit him in the mask, and like gets down like on the floor, and he's like, "I can't see the ball." So he was so nasty that we had to go and get the game called so that we had a chance of winning that game because he was just so dominant.
That's fire.
Well, did you win the
That's
game?
how. No, we lost. We lost the next day. We lost the next day. Scored three runs the next day and lost 4-3 because the guy that we brought in got tagged as well. It was 1-0, and then that we scored three and they scored three the next day. But it was just like whenever Christian Scott comes up, I think of that funny. I think of
You're
that.
saying it's not a horrific pick, is what you're saying.
It's not terrible, bro. He was great in high
Man,
school.
if Nico was a major leaguer, this would be a great pick.
Absolutely.
Hey, we're talking to the reigning, what's the division called? The Chesapeake area
Chesapeake South Conference Player of the Week.
for club baseball division two. We like that.
We love
Henry,
it.
round us out.
Yeah. I really don't have any reason for this guy. This guy is just like, he's a sexy pick.
Spencer
Like, it's
Jones.
my last pick. I'm like,
He gives
take a guy
Spencer
who
Jones.
is hitting shockingly hard. Like I was not expecting it. He has a 314 batting average, and he throws the ball really, really hard. Throws the ball really hard. It's Mason Wynn. Why not? Why not? The Cardinals suck. He may be their lone bright spot.
It'll be interesting what the Cardinals do because, as you're mentioning,
They
the
suck
Cardinals are a
so
little
bad.
awful, and Goldschmidt's
They're
a free
horrible.
agent and
It's
everything like
not, it
that.
wasn't a fluke. It was never a fluke.
I will say there's a couple of guys out there that obviously did not get picked in this draft. I really like Michael Bush of the
Yeah, I was thinking
Cubs.
about him. Was thinking about him.
Shout out to our boy Matt Mervis. There's also a guy, Junior Caminero, with the Rays, is a top prospect in baseball. It's only a matter of time before he gets called up. Parker Meadows, if you're a little interested in that area, could work his way onto the major league roster with the Tigers at some point soon. Austin Wells is going to get playing time, but I think if Henry's not picking him, no one's picking him. Guardians, Brian Rocchio is their starting shortstop right now and has a little bit of, I'm not going to go as far as saying Lindor, but he looks a little Andrés Giménez-like. But if you want to pick your Orioles, Heston Kjerstad should get called up at some point soon as well
Colby
because he's
Mayo.
raking in AAA. Colby Mayo. If you want another pitcher, Ricky Tiedemann of the Toronto Blue Jays could be getting called up pretty soon as well. In the National League side, Max Meyer is going to start games for the Miami Marlins. So is Gavin Stone with the LA Dodgers. The other bright spot on the St. Louis Cardinals, Victor Scott Jr., is, I believe, their starting center fielder right now. DL Hall is starting every day for the Milwaukee Brewers. And if no one went there, I was a little surprised by this one. I wasn't going to go there after picking Dominguez, but he was the other guy I was debating. Dylan Cruz gets called up in May. That could be a solid pick as well, but I don't think the Nationals are going to rush him forward. Same with Robert Hassel III. But those are basically all the rookies in Major League Baseball. And we shouted out the majority of them. I
Hoyer
guess.
Abreu, who's hitting, I don't think has a hit this year.
Ben Brown, too, in theory, if you want to name all the guys that potentially could be out there. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up this draft. We will shelve it and we will come back to this in October and find out who is right. I think if I had to make a guess, I think Imanaga is going to win, but I also wouldn't be stunned if Yamamoto dominates. I really do like Nico's pick of Jared Jones. I think that's a sneaky one. I think that's this year's Tanner Bibee. But any closing thoughts on the current state of
I mean,
rookies?
I think I won this draft. I think it's going to be Jackson Chourio and Wyatt Langford, and I think that everyone's going to be like, "Wow, Nico, you're so smart at baseball!" Like, and then I think front offices are going to hire me just because I'm able to scout so well. But other than that, I think it went swimmingly.
Henry, any thoughts?
I think it's quite bodacious. And let's, you know what? Talk for a second while I pull something up.
Can't believe my biggest takeaway is Henry's a little salty right now. Like killing me for Giancarlo Stanton, using our one on a Giancarlo Stanton like
I mean,
anger
no,
rage.
but like,
Like
this is how, watch. You want to know why you're not used to this? Because last year, the Yankees sucked from the start. So, like, he
yeah.
had, like, no confidence. But now, oh, No. you're disrespecting the Yankees? Oh, my I God. was also the guy who believed in Giancarlo, so it's
That is
nice.
true. I'll give you credit for
Like
that
I
one.
was like everybody was hating on him in spring training. I was like, I don't know, guys. I have a lot of faith in Giancarlo this year. And through 10 games, he's been great.
And
So,
I'll
you know
raise my
what?
hand on
It doesn't
Giancarlo
matter
Stanton
if he's been horrible this
because
past
I
year.
did have Giancarlo Stanton to start the year in fantasy baseball. He was awful the first 3 to 4 games. And I traded him away.
Dropped him.
I didn't drop him. I traded him away and got like Aaron Judge for him in a weird trade. Thanks, David. But
Me started.
but no, I have not. I just looked. His stats are pretty freaking good. He's got a 150 OPS right now. He hit 4 bombs in his last 5 games.
Yeah.
So, all right, Stanton's doing well. But I still don't think if you're telling the Yankees, yeah, we're gonna rest Jason Dominguez because I love the dogs out with Alex Verdugo, but he can take a seat for Jason Dominguez. But Henry, we delayed enough. You've got
The
something
New
for us.
York Knicks are your 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. If we're not a basketball podcast, but I used to pray for times like these. And so soak it in, New York.
Jets are looking good for the AFC East too. I don't know if you're a
I
Jets fan.
know, man. We avoid like they avoided the Aaron Rodgers vice presidency scare. Now they're good to go.
Look, it's a good time to be a New York fan, unless you're a Mets fan like Dylan.
What do you mean? We just took a series from the Braves, but
You
that
guys
never happens. That literally
also
never
lost
happens.
a series to the Tigers.
True. Pizza, pizza. But other than that, I would like to shout out, though, friend of the podcast, three updates. Wishing all the best to TJ Anton and Marlon Willis undergoing surgeries out for the 2024 season. Looking forward to a speedy recovery on both of their fronts. I know TJ, I think this is third elbow surgery for him. So keep battling, keep fighting, and we look forward to seeing him back on the mound in 2025. And then, happier note, shout out to the newest member of the Long Island Ducks. Friend of the podcast just signed a contract to be their first baseman this season and hopes to get back into professional baseball. Just announced on his Instagram. Frankie Bombs, Frankie Swindell is headed to the Long Island Ducks to continue his baseball career. Battled some injuries this year, went overseas in 2023, had to shut it down due to some injuries, but he is back in baseball. Long Island Ducks signed him, and we are excited to have Frankie back in professional baseball, and we'll see what happens in 2024. So, shout out friends of the pod, growing, loving, doing great things. And we'll see which one of these guys that we mentioned today end up doing great things. But for Dylan, Nico, and Henry, until the next time, the side is retired.